Good morning, everyone. So glad you're here. This would be hard to do by myself. Not a real pretty spring morning yet, but it's coming. You know, I had to really work and search way harder than what I've ever done before for a message for this morning. And so I really didn't get it until early this morning. I might have to let Charlene preach sometime, maybe. Because she's, no big deal. You'll get something. And she's right. The Lord always gives me something. But anyway, I've got about 8 messages through the week. And so it's like, all right, Lord, what do you want to say to your people today? And see, that's what I search for, is what God wants me to say. I've given up trying to give flowery, good-sounding messages that you can get a pat on the back for. I've given that all up. And so I'm just going to share what God gives me, no matter how it comes across. It doesn't matter. You know, and the thing is, we singing the song, is Jesus on the throne of our lives? I mean, is he really there, or are we still there sometimes? Or maybe even most of the time. The thing is, we got to put Jesus on the throne of our lives. And that's important to do. Sometimes it can be tough. But we've got to learn to do that, to where we can just trust him, knowing that he has the best plan for us. And we can trust him with all of it. So anyway, let's pray before we get started here this morning. Father, I thank you for this time. And Lord, for each one that is here, I ask that you would bless those, Lord, that could not make it this morning. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, what you do on our lives. Lord, I ask that you would allow us to just take your word, to speak your word in strength and power, knowing, Lord, that you're faithful. And you'll change lives and hearts as we speak it out by faith, bringing you glory and honor in all of it. So again, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the days are coming that declares really the sovereignty of the Lord. And sometimes we don't see the truth sometimes. There's a lot of people that are searching for the truth. And for one reason or another, they're not finding it. Turn with me, if you would, to Amos chapter 8. The Lord sent me to Amos, and this just weighed on my heart. Just so we understand that God's real word is really so important, and there's a lot of people that miss it. You know, we go to church, we hear messages, and we hear messages, and we hear messages. And a lot of times, we can remember some of it, but it hasn't really changed our lives the way it really can. And folks, that's a problem. I take the word very, very seriously. And that's why it's so important to me to share it the right way. Because I don't want to teach it in the wrong way. I'd rather God just struck me down, you know, than for me to do that. Because that's his word. It's what he says. And who am I to think that I can change the meaning of God's word? And I won't do that. Knowingly, anyway. Amos chapter 8, I want to do just a couple of verses here. Verse 11 and 12. So this is what Amos prophesied from the Lord. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." Folks, I always wondered, God, how do you feel about people not receiving your word? Thinking it's not that important sometimes. We feel that we're okay. We got that down. We really don't need to hear that. And so I wondered about God. I said, God, do you ever get upset at people? I know your love and your mercy and your grace that goes out, but do you get sometimes a little upset about it? And then I read this, and I can see how precious God's word is and should be to all of us. So here a little bit about Amos. Amos was a prophet during the time of relative prosperity in Israel. But this prosperity was accompanied by moral decay, social injustice, and disregard for God's commandments. You know, this was one thing that I kind of dreaded. I know when the other president was in office, people seemed to be a little more hungry for God. It's like, Lord, you got to deliver us. You got to help us through this. Bad things are happening. Our country's being destroyed. God, you got to help us. And then we got a new president who's doing a wonderful job. And I knew that he would, but I was kind of cautious. And I think I even said it to a few people here maybe that I love who we got, and I know he's going to do a great job, but the problem I see is people are going to start feeling more secure, more free. There's going to be prosperity. There's going to be good things happening. It's going to take care of a lot of the concerns that most of us have. But where's it going to get us? Is it going to draw us closer to God, or are we going to abandon the things of God? And so that was my concern. Remember when the planes hit the towers in New York City and they fell? Man, the church is filled. They filled up. Because people were afraid and they were concerned. And they sought after God. But then it wasn't too much longer after that. Everybody kind of went back to the way they were. And so I was concerned about it. You know, even before I read this passage here, long before, it concerned me. So the people here then in Amos's time were engaged in religious rituals, but lacked true devotion and understanding of God's word. And so it got them into trouble. God said, fine, you want that? I'm going to hide my word from you. You search for it. You want it. But you won't find it. So let's talk a little bit about the frame of healing. The famine mentioned in these verses is not a physical lack of food or water, like we said, but of spirituality, of God's word and God's promises for us, his power in our lives. So the consequences of doing this by not really being close and searching for God with sincerity, we're going to miss out on the blessings that God really wants to give us. You know, there's a lot of churches that are really growing. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of churches that I can't preach in because they don't really want more. They're set. We believe this. Don't bring anything else in here. This is what we don't believe that. We believe this. And so they want to hear what they believe and how they think. And so I've had people say, Jim, don't rock the boat. You know, if everything's going good, don't rock the boat. What's your problem? Do you like to cause problems? And I thought, well, I guess I do, if that's how it goes a lot of the time. But I feel sorry for those churches. See, that's why I love it. I love preaching to you guys. Because I've always sensed a heart, it's kind of like we want more. Teach us. You may not understand sometimes what I'm trying to get across, but it's like, give me more. Help me to understand this. I want to know. And you can tell when you're preaching. A couple preachers in the back, they know exactly what I'm talking. You can tell. There's things that I've preached before and it just fell on the floor right in front of me, because people weren't willing to receive. And it's frustrating. It's hard. It's like, come on, people, there's more. There's more to what you know and what you're just believing right now. There's so much more. See, God wants to do a real work in our lives. He really wants to change us. You know, and I know a lot of us here, we want the power, don't we? We want the power. Man, we want God's power to work through us. We want to touch lives and hearts. We want to change the status quo. There's people out there that are hurting, and they don't know, they don't have the understanding that all of you have here. See, you have a lot of understanding. There's more that we all need. But you have a lot of understanding because you've been hungry. You've been open. Even sometimes when you didn't quite agree, you still received. I said, well, I have to look that up. I have to check that out. And I applaud you. I want you to do that. You know, I always hated it when my kids said, well, Dad said. Who cares what Dad said? Find it for yourself in the Word. See, that's so important. You've got to know. It's not what somebody else says, and you hope they're right. You need to know firsthand. And see, that's what God wants to do, but that's why you got to see really the importance of all of it, of God's word. He says what he means, and I'll be honest with you, he really means what he says. You know, I've had people say to me before different things, and it's like they didn't mean it. So what? No big deal. They don't really care anyway. That's why whenever I talk with the kids about something and say, well, you can't do this, and I don't want you to do that, and I would explain to them why. But I meant what I said. Because if they did it, they knew that there was consequences. And that's why when I make a promise even to my kids or to my grandkids, I keep it. I've tried to get out of it before. Have you ever done that? Promise something, then you may be tired or something else come up and you want to change it. And what they say, Grandpa, you said, you're right. I did say it. Come hell or high water, we're doing it. Doesn't matter. We're doing it. And so they know that. And if they're not supposed to do something, they know that they're in trouble. But if I say we're going to do something, they're not brokenhearted because we didn't do it. They know that we're going to do it then. So our word's important, and that's really the same way with God. He says what he means. Means exactly what he says. And so we've got to take his word really so very serious. You know, we got people that a lot of times they'll run here and there looking for something special from God. Had a real estate agent once, and a younger guy. And he would talk to me. He says, Jim, man, there's this evangelist that's coming through town. He says he's been in other states. And he says, I've been to every one of his meetings. No matter where they're at, he says, I'll fly there and I'll go to his meetings. Because he says he does healings. And he said, I just love to see the healings. And I said, well, man, that's great. But I said, do you know Jesus? Does he preach on salvation? No, he doesn't go. He just preaches on healing. I said, well, what about you? Have you received yet? No, man, I'm just looking for healing. See, he didn't want to bother with that kind of stuff. He just wanted to see power, wanted to see God move. And I thought, man, that's great. But it's like you really need Jesus in your heart. And then how about us learning how to move in the power of God and touching lives as well, so we don't have to run all over to creation to watch other people do it? Amen? See, that's why we want the power. So it's important that we don't run all over. So can I share with you the power? We've been waiting a long time. And you've been very patient. But actually, it's very simple. Very simple. Do you know how we deal with storms? We pray, right? And that's good and very important to do. But look with me at a scripture. It's Matthew 8:26. The disciples were in a boat with Jesus, and this big storm arose, and it was filling the boat with water. And then in verse 26, them being scared, very scared for their lives, they went and woke up Jesus and said, hey, don't you care? He's sleeping in the boat. But in verse 26, Jesus said to them, he says, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and he then rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You know, I tried that out once, just speaking to it. Years ago at the airport, we were still in the old building. They got the new one up now, but we were in the old build. No, we were just in a new building. I don't know. We were in the building, the airport. It doesn't matter. But there were storms going on. And that's when they had a big tornado in Levering. And it ripped up a bunch of trees and did some damage with power lines and whatnot. There were three tornadoes that hit at the airport. A lot of people don't know that. There was a lot of people in there where we were waiting for the plane. The plane was on the ground, and it was, we were going to load it soon and send it out. And tornado warnings came on, and everybody kind of took cover. Some people went out to their cars and did different things, and the others, we had them all get away from the windows and different things in case it got close and glass would fly around. And I stood at the big picture window, and I watched this tornado. It was way down, and it was coming towards us. It wasn't a real big one, you know, at all. But it was tearing up things. You could see stuff going in the air. And then there was another one that developed over on the side of it. And I watched it, and it was kind of moving over. And then I think that, if I remember right, there was a third one. I know there was two, and possibly the three, and they almost lined up pretty close together, and they were coming towards the building. And I'm standing at the picture window, and I said, "You tornadoes, you dissolve and you leave this place. You will not touch this airport or cause any harm at all in this area, in Jesus' name." And I stood there, and it was about 2 or 3 minutes later, as they were still coming, I just stood there. Pretty soon one dissipated, then the other one was gone, and it was all over. It was like the front just kind of moved through. You can't prove to me that it wasn't because I spoke to it, because the Lord tells us to speak to things, right? He said, "Oh, ye of little faith," to his disciples. He said, "Why didn't you speak?" That's what he was saying. "Why didn't you speak to the storm? Why didn't you tell the wind to cease and the waves to calm? Why do you always run to me?" See, a lot of times, if you notice, when we pray, a lot of the prayers, we ask God to do it. And I think God is saying, "Well, wait a minute. Don't I live in you?" See, the word talks about the kingdom is not far off because it's inside of us. Folks, we walk with the kingdom of God inside of us. And the Lord says, "Maybe you ought to learn to speak to things." We've got to learn, you know, to really do as God is telling us to do. So, the thing is, they could have stood in the boat because Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." Now, they knew what Jesus wanted to do. As we read the word and know what Jesus wants in our lives and in others' lives, maybe in healing, as we prayed for Kathy and Jack and their situation, and we need to learn how to speak to different situations, because we know what God's will is. God's will, he sent his word and he healed us. Isn't that what God wants? By his stripes, we were healed. God doesn't want people sick. He wants them healed. So when we know what God wants, why can't we just speak to it? We have power in our voice. God gave it to us. So they could have stood in the boat and say, "Storm, you cease now in Jesus' name. We're going to the other side, and you're not getting in our way." At least they could have tried. And see, that's what we need to learn to do. Let me show you something else. Look at Matthew 14, Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 25. I'm not going to read it for you, but I'm going to tell you what it's saying here. This was another storm. Folks, I want to tell you right now that storms are miracle times. Because when it takes God's power That's a miracle. And it's when people can't make things happen, but God does and we're amazed. That's a miracle. And I think that's when we should expect a miracle. But in the storm, remember Jesus came walking on the water in the middle of the storm. The disciples seen and thought it was a spirit out there. And Jesus said, it's me. Don't be afraid. And then you know what Peter did? I think Peter was starting to catch on to some things. He said, Lord, if it's you, just tell me to come to you walking on the water. Lord, just say it. I'm not getting out of the boat unless I hear you say, come. And Jesus said, well, come. And Peter jumped out of the boat and he walked on the water. And he was on the water until he started to doubt and look at the storm or the effects of the storm. Then he began to sink and then cried out to Jesus. And Jesus took him back to the boat. He didn't let him drown. But you see, I kind of wondered, why in the world would the Lord have Peter to ask Jesus to prove that if it was him, to tell him to come, that way he could walk on the water? Why do you suppose? I think it was for us to see that when we hear and see the spoken word and know what God wants us to do, that we do it, that we get out of the boat. You know, the other 11 just watched with their mouths hanging open, wondering, Peter, are you stupid? But then they're amazed that he's walking on the water. Folks, do you understand what I'm trying to say and what the Lord's trying to tell us here? You want power? Put Jesus and make him king of the throne of your life. Believe his word and start speaking it. Not just, be healed. No, it's be healed in Jesus. Who are you talking to? You're talking to the sickness and the devil that's trying to apply himself in somebody's life. You need to speak to the foul thing. It's not from God. It's from the enemy. Folks, if Peter can wait for Jesus to say, come and jump out of the boat and walk on the water, surely we can speak to sickness and disease and any other issue that we know what God wants. Do y'all hear me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? See, we want the power, but we're waiting for Jesus to do it. And Jesus is not doing it because he's wanting us to do it. I hope you're understanding. I think you are. You guys are pretty smart. But see, we got to learn to be doers of the word and not just hearers. We're getting good at just sitting in the pews and hearing. And hearing. And then we're wondering where the power is. Well, it went in one ear and out the other is where it went. Luke 17:6 says this. So the Lord said, he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, just because a lot of people say, well, I don't have enough faith. Well, yeah, you do. It just takes, how much faith do you think it takes? Of course, it's a lot easier if you have more faith. You know, you feel maybe a little more relaxed. But if you work and you build that faith, he says, then you can say to a mulberry tree or a mountain, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. And it says, Jesus says, it would obey you. Folks, it's you saying. It's not you praying and asking God to do it. When we do that, God says, I've already done it for you. Just speak it. You're my sons and my daughters. Who do you think you are? You know, even kids at school know how to, you know my daddy? My daddy can beat your daddy. You know, they know who their daddy is. Do we know who our daddy is? My daddy's not going to let me get hurt. What's the Great Commission? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, cast out demons. He said if you happen to pick up a serpent like the Apostle Paul did on the island, after he was shipwrecked and collecting wood, and here he's throwing it into the fire, and there's a snake that bit him, hanging, a poisonous snake hanging off of his arm. And Paul, like, you silly thing. And he shook it off. He shook it off into the fire. And then everybody, all the natives and everybody, watched to see when he was going to fall over dead. But he never did. See, the word says that if you take up a snake, a serpent, it won't hurt you. If you happen to drink deadly poison, he said, it would not hurt you. See, God says, I'll protect you. I'm going to take care of you. You're my sons and my daughters. I care for you. I'm there for you. Folks, well, we got to learn to speak to the serpent. Do you know my God? My daddy will take care of your daddy. See, Satan is nothing to our daddy. He's afraid of him. And see, his problem is he doesn't want us to learn who we really are in Christ. Because then we're dangerous. Amen? Folks, we don't want to just look good, do we? I walk into a room, I want the enemy to know who I am. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. In Arizona, friends and I went into a Indian thing. Well, they were afraid of demonic forces in there. Well, I like Indian arrowheads, so I thought, well, if they had some, I want to see and maybe get some. So Charlene and I were in there looking around just as calm as could be. And the couple that was with us, they went out. So after about, well, we're in there 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, we went out and they said, did you feel them evil spirits in there? I said, no, they ran. I said, what have we got to be afraid of? See, folks, do we know in whom we believe? Do we really believe the word of God? Will we really stand and take our place? I've told you before, I pray and things happen, or they're not seemingly happen, and I'll say, God, you said. Like my grandkids do to me, I say, God, you said. You said right here in your word. Why Peter say, Lord, you said to come, and I'm coming. So we need to start moving in the power that we have. Folks, you want the power? It's right here. The kingdom is right here. It's not far off. Jesus said when you go into a town and you heal somebody, you say to them, the kingdom is near. Well, yeah, because the kingdom's right here. He said, the kingdom's near to you now. Well, the reason it's only near to you is because they didn't receive Jesus. Had they received Jesus, now the kingdom would be in you. Boy, if you guys aren't enjoying this, I am. I want to tell you. I needed this. You know what I mean? I needed this. And see, that's how I walked all the time. And I would speak it, and it was happening. I had a deliverance session. I had a really big, not as tall as James, but big elder in our church. His name was John. He was a prison guard. I said, John, Charlene and I are going in to do deliverance on this person. And I said, I thought might be a good opportunity to get my deacons or my, well, he was a deacon, to get my deacons kind of familiar. See, I like to teach people and show them, let them see how God's moving and the power that we have. And we walked in the room and this individual is a woman, and she talked in a man's voice. And she said to John, "Who are you?" And he backed up. He was going to leave. I said, "John, it's okay. You can stay." And I've been in other deliverances, and they would say, "We know who you are." And I just say, "Shut up in Jesus' name." Folks, I'm telling you, they're wimps. We think they have so much power. They have no power over you. None. The only power they have over us is our ignorance. That's all the power they have. When they try to make you afraid and try to tell you how little you are, you can't do this, and that's impossible. I think we maybe ought to remind them of what God says, what my daddy's talking about, and what Jesus has accomplished for me. You know, doesn't the word say that he who hears you hears me? And he who rejects you and your word rejects me? And he that rejects me rejects my Father who sent me. Folks, don't be intimidated. Humble, be humble, graceful, loving, and kind. But do not be fearful. You understand? I'm trying to lay it all out so that we all, myself included, that we understand that we are the power of God. Folks, we're the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We're Jesus' hands and feet and his mouth. We need to go out and do as he did. Amen? So anyway, this is a great starting place. Continue to be willing to receive the word of God. Even if you're not quite there with what I'm saying, you grow into it. Sometimes you got to break the new shoes in. Sometimes the Lord may bring someone here that needs deliverance. Y'all ain't running because I want you to come and help me and let you see the real power of God. Folks, you don't know the power you've got. You got the heart, you got the desire, and the willingness. All you need to do is let God do it through you. It's all you need. I can already see so many changes. Charlene and I were talking. I said, man, the way people talk, the way they think, the things that they do, they've changed. I said, boy, they're growing. And I'm just so impressed with what God's doing through you guys. You know, we think we're small and insignificant. God's going to use us in a mighty way. Everybody's going to know about Jesus as Lord, church. Do you know all them mature people there at Jesus as Lord? Man, those guys know how to cast out demons. I've seen them speak to the sick people and they were healed. Folks, God is good and he's going to use us in a mighty way. Well, will you pray with me? Might have to pray for me, right? Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we give you honor and praise. May we speak your word and believe your word. Lord, you mean what you say. Your word is good, it's powerful, it's strong, and it is done. And Lord, all we need to do is learn how to, by faith, say and do what you say that we need to do. We follow you, Lord. We will cast out demons. We will, in your name, heal the sick. So, Father, thank you for teaching us, allowing us to understand the power that we have, the kingdom, your power, your life, your very kingdom living inside of each of us. And we're sons and your daughters. And we will bring you honor and praise because of your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Lloyd, I know, will be up here praying for us. What? Can I speak a blessing over you? Y'all know how important the word is. I got carried away. It's in Numbers 6:22, it starts. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.